This is the show that goes like this with Ben Simmons.
Broadcasting to Brentwood, Billericay and the world, this is Phoenix FM.
It might seem crazy what I'm about to say, like the legend of the Phoenix.
Here's the reason why.
Oh, sometimes I get a good feeling.
Say my name, you know who I am.
Mr. Bombastic.
They said,
oh, what a night.
Oh yes, good evening, hello everybody, a warm welcome once again to the show that goes like this with me, Ben Simmons, and I was bound to say at some point tonight, let's get it in early on. You can stop your tossing right now. It may be pancake day, but this is going to be a pancake-free zone! I can't absolutely 100% guarantee I'm not going to mention them again after that, but, you know, it doesn't really fit in with the theme of my show this week. What is going on this week? What is all happening? Already I've had messages from Ellie in Beckles and Barbara Ferry in Kent, so hello to you. Lovely to know you're out there and listening once again. But the theme of tonight's show, a little bit different this week. Yes, there are lots of wacky holidays going on the 16th of February, all across the globe. But importantly, I believe today is Innovation Day. So, on the show that goes like this tonight, we are heavily embracing innovation. And I'm going to share with you some shocking, but certainly interesting facts about some of the most, what we regard as recent inventions in our society, I reckon, and actually how long ago they came into being for the first time. Some of them quite surprising, one or two of them not all that surprising, but always good to listen to this show and find out things you didn't know before. That's what I think. And then I'm going to link the tracks we play to certain bits of innovative technology that have come into our society. So it will all be happening tonight. There will be an opportunity to have a Legend of the Week award as well. We may squeeze in some celebrity birthdays. Don't worry. Those regular features you know and mildly enjoy will still be here. Great music guaranteed from a wide variety of sources as well, because we're not constrained by genre or time as ever. It's not a certain decade show, and there's no music that I won't play as long as it's not offensive, if it fits in with the theme. So anything from any time, if it fits in, could be played tonight. So what are we linking to certain innovations? What I'm going to do, I'm going to play a track. You've got to guess what the innovation is from the track that I've played. Then we'll find out some information about it. Then I'll play another one. So remember, keep it here, 98.0 FM, phoenixfm.com. Spread the word about the show. It's Ben Simmons Radio on Facebook and at Ben Sim Radio on Twitter. And if you're desperate to see my lovely visage, then you can join mixcloud.com. And search for Phoenix FM on there as well and get the webcam feed into the studio. Although, shockingly, it looks to me like the camera's been moved slightly off-centre. Now that is outrageous. I'll see if I can maybe move it back throughout the show, but it looks precariously balanced. That's all I'm going to say. I don't want to affect the picture too much. Anyway, right, innovation is what we're dealing with on this show tonight. And what could be an important innovation that's made our society massively better over the last few decades, certainly. Well, you'll realise when I play this, probably, what is it all about. Stay listening. Stay attentive. You've got to think in tonight's show. I'm actually asking something of you. Good luck, everyone. Here we go. It's the Carpenters.
Such a feeling's coming over me. There is wonder in most everything I see. Not a cloud in the sky. Got the sun in my eyes, and I won't be surprised if it's
a dream. Everything I want the world to be is now coming true, especially for me. And the reason is clear, it's because you are here. You're the nearest thing to heaven that I've seen. I'm on the top of the world looking down on creation, and the only explanation I can find is the love that I've found ever since you've been around. Your love's put me at the top of the world. Something in the wind has learned my name, and it's telling me that things are not the same. In the leaves on the trees and the touch of the breeze, there's a pleasing sense of happiness for me. There is only one wish on my mind. When this day is through, I hope that I will find that tomorrow will be just the same for you and me. All I need will be mine if you are here. I'm on the top of the world looking down on creation, and the only explanation I can find is the love that I've found ever since you've been around. Your love's put me at the top of the world. And the only explanation I can find is the love that I've found ever since you've been around. Your love's put me at the top of the world.
Community radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.
And that was The Carpenters with the classic On Top of the World to get us going on the show that goes like this tonight with my innovation special on this 16th of February, Innovation Day all across the world. What's innovative about being on top of the world? What am I talking about? The space race or something like that? Something about the ozone layer? Well, to put it simply, I am talking about satellites. Oh yes, they are on top of the world, so to speak. And much of what we do these days depends on the existence of satellites. Certainly our TV, certainly global positioning systems, to name but two things. But it may surprise you when the first ever satellite was put into orbit. 4th of October, 1957. Now, quite a lot of the things I'm dealing with tonight, I'm going to talk about the innovation. And then we realise when the first version of it came into being, and it's probably quite a bit earlier than you might be thinking. Maybe not with a satellite, because people have heard of them from many, many years ago. And yes, the ones that are actually conducting our TV signals now all around the globe probably weren't put into orbit until relatively recently. But Sputnik 1 by the Russian cosmonauts and the Soviet Union was launched into orbit on the 4th of October 1957, orbited the planet for 3 weeks before its batteries died, and then it carried on orbiting silently for 2 months before it fell back into the atmosphere. It was just 58 centimetres in diameter, had 4 external radio antennas to broadcast radio pulses, and its radio signal was easily detectable by amateur radio enthusiasts on the Earth. And the duration of its orbit made its flight path cover virtually the entire inhabited Earth. That's just one satellite in 1957. I think we've got considerably more now that are up there that are maintained by people working on the International Space Station and various space agencies. But yeah, first ever satellite put into orbit way back in 1957. There's a shocker for you. But now we need another track to help us embrace that fact. Something about satellites? Well, if you really think back and know your pop music, then you'll know there's a song called Sleeping Satellite. by Tasmin Archer.
I blame you for the moonlit sky and the dream that died with the eagle's flight. I blame you for the moonlit night when I wonder why are the seas still dry. Don't blame me, sleeping satellite. Did we fly to the moon too soon? Did we squander the chance? Of the race, the reason we chase is a lost in romance. And still we try to chase it by the waist for a taste of man's greatest adventure. Whoa. I blame you for the moonlit sky and the dream that.
Phoenix FM.
And that was Tasmin Archer, often wrongly called Tamsin Archer, with Sleeping Satellite. Yes, embracing the satellite, which we heavily rely on in our society these days. Well, it's Tuesday the 16th of February. Why am I talking about satellites? If you've joined the show late, thanks for joining at all. But it is World Innovation Day. So we're talking about things that have been particularly innovative that have affected all of our lives over the last few decades, and actually looking at when those things were first invented, first came into being. And you may not think satellites were all that old, but way back in the 1950s, the first satellite was put into orbit. What's next then? What innovation are we talking about? Something that's happened in my lifetime that's probably going to make the biggest difference to society out of anything that's happened in the last, well, since the Industrial Revolution, let's say. Let's go that crazy and say that. I'm going to play a track. You're probably going to guess what we're talking about when you hear this track. I haven't heard it for a while until I heard it today, and then I enjoyed it. I like that when that happens. I feel like that must happen a lot on the show that goes like this. It's time for the Stereo MCs.
Radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.
Well, some people out there, Paul Milton, hello to you, sir. and Barbara Ferry as well, thinking maybe we're talking about smartphones or something like that. But, however, I am in fact talking about the invention of the internet itself. Yes, the World Wide Web. And everybody's aware of Tim Berners-Lee doing things in the late 1990s, early 2000s, making it all happen, making networking become a thing. And I've told this story on this programme before, but I can remember being in my sixth form computer room in the mid-1990s. And one of the teachers coming in and going, look, come and look at this, guys. Get about three of us to come over to a computer. And he typed in a paragraph, pressed a button, and he went, I've just sent that to my friend in Scotland. It's called email. And we all went, oh, my God, that's the greatest thing I've ever seen. And we said it in that slightly effeminate voice as well. I don't know why, all three of us at the same time. We were heartily impressed, though. Sending text from one computer to another computer, thanks to the wonders of the World Wide Web and the internet. However, this could shock you. When was the internet actually first invented? Obviously, with many things like this that come into the public domain, they've been planned and prepared for and often begun in defence budgets, in governmental research labs and things like that. And it's all to do with warfare to begin with, or protection, I guess. But the first workable prototype of the internet came in the late 1960s. Can you believe that? With the creation of ARPANET, or the Advanced Research Projects Agency Network, in the United States Department of Defense. And ARPANET was the first technology to use something known as packet switching to allow multiple computers to communicate on a single network. And the first actual message delivered from one computer to another, a node-to-node communication, was on October the 29th, 1969. So that could be said to be the birth of the internet. And that first computer was in a research lab at UCLA. The second was in Stanford University. Each computer was the size of a small house, and the message that was sent was just the word login. Quite small and simple, five characters, and it crashed ARPA's network after only two characters had been sent. But they were sent October 1969. There you go, there's a shocker for you. That's when the internet really began. Nothing to do with Tim Berners-Lee and all that gubbins, oh no. But what about another track to help us celebrate the love and everything that we do with the internet? That we all love the internet now, don't we? Well, maybe some people don't like it. There are problems with it, obviously, but if we embrace it, if we use it in a positive way, it's truly amazing. Surely all the possibilities it provides, all the information at the touch of a button. But that's the thing with your Wi-Fi connection now. You always want better internet, don't you? It's never fast enough. Someone's like, oh, I've got to wait 3 seconds for this web page to load. No one goes. In the early 2000s, you had to wait 43 seconds for a web page to load, and it was fine. Now you're like, oh, I can't quite download this entire 4K film in 3 minutes. When previously I would have had to go and buy a VHS tape and rewind it for 20 minutes before I could watch it again. You know, all that gubbins. So basically, whatever's going on with the internet, we want it to be better, we want it to be faster. Do we want it to be harder? Do we want it to be stronger? Over to you, Daft Punk. Can you get into the song, though, please? Thank you.
Make it, do it, makes us faster, stronger. More than power, power, never. Ever after work is over. Work it, make it, do it, makes us harder, better, faster, stronger.
Slightly Crazy, Harder, Better, Faster, Stronger by Daft Punk, which was sampled or remixed, if you like, by Kanye West a few years back. That was the original from Daft Punk, used in this show, on the show that goes like this tonight, to help celebrate the wonders of the internet, which crazily, well, the birth of which almost began in 1969 on ARPANET in the US defense system, if you like. Rather impressive, I'm sure you'll agree. Something else, well, people were guessing about this last time, so I ought to not disappoint them too much. Our next innovation we're going to be looking at is pretty darn obvious when you hear the next track. Although, when did the first one come into being? Get your thinking caps on, people. Here's Gaga, here's Beyoncé. We're not talking landlines. We know about landlines, Alexander Graham.
Hello, hello, baby, you called, I can't hear a thing. I have got no service in the club, you say, say. What did you say? Oh, you're breaking up on me. Sorry, I cannot hear you, I'm kind of busy.
I'm falling out, I wanna think anymore. getting tired of my phone, baby. Yeah. Sometimes I feel like I live in Grand Central Station. And I'm not taking no calls cause I'll be dead too.
Phoenix FM.
Lady Gaga and Beyonce with a brilliant telephone. Not to celebrate the existence of the telephone. We're talking about innovation here on the show that goes like this tonight. Of course, we're now discussing a smartphone. Just as Paul Milton suggested, he's been watching the webcam feed on Mixcloud.com. If you want to do just that, you can go to Mixcloud.com and search for Phoenix FM. You'll see our station's logo. Click on that, you'll be taken to the webcam feed. If you want to get involved in the chat on there, just like Paul Milton's done, you must have a Mixcloud account, but it's very easy to start one. It takes you through the whole process. Have a look. If you're interested, you can see me in the studio. You can see how I've got a microphone cover that matches the branding of the station. How on earth was I that forward thinking? And why? Oh, why am I slightly smarter today than I am very often when presenting this show? All those questions and less may not be answered tonight. But have a look at the webcam anyway, if you're so inclined to do. Thanks for being here. The show that goes like this with me, Ben Simmons, on Phoenix FM. And yes, we're looking at smartphones right now. I say looking at, I mean discussing. You may be looking at one. I am looking at one right now. Pretty much all of us have got one. There are those that may still be resistant, but very, very many millions of smartphones have been sold all across the globe. But when did they first come into being? A lot of people associate the birth of the smartphone with Apple and the iPhone, which was first released, and you may think it would be older than this, first released in 2007, the first ever iPhone. But, oh no, as with many things, many of the innovations we're discussing on the show that goes like this tonight, the actual original ones came into being quite a lot before you might think. Let me just read this. In the early 1990s, IBM engineer Frank Canova realised that chip and wireless technology was becoming small enough to use in handheld devices. The first commercially available device that could be properly referred to as a smartphone began as a prototype called Angler, developed by Frank Canova in 1992 while he was working at IBM, and in the November of that year it was demonstrated at a trade show and was actually available for purchase by consumers in 1994 under the name Simon Personal Communicator. It was able to make and receive calls, had a touchscreen, could receive faxes and emails. It included an address book, calendar, calculator, world time clock, and a notepad. And it also had such other visionary mobile applications as maps, stock reports, and news. Pretty much the world's first smartphone back in 1994, before any of us had even heard of the internet. There you go, absolutely amazing and unbelievable. So we need another song to help us celebrate phones, really, don't we? Well, I trawled the internet, I trawled my brain, I came up with this from Maroon 5.
Got a payphone trying to call home, all of my change I spent on you. Where have the times gone, baby, it's all wrong. Where are the plans we made for two? Yeah, I know it's hard to remember.
Radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.
And during that track, a couple of people have messaged in apoplectic with indifference. Is that possible? About the fact that the webcam wasn't pointed directly at me. So I've tried to rectify it a little bit without upsetting other presenters too much. So hopefully you'll find that I've slightly adjusted the angle of it, although it looks like it might have moved back. Oh dear. Let me have another go whilst on the air. It does appear that it does have a tendency to move back very slightly, but I've done it. I've got it there. Hopefully that's better for you. If you're on Mixcloud now, you get me in a slightly more central position. Hopefully that's a marvellous, marvellous angle for everybody concerned. Anyway, moving on with the show. There we go then. We are amazed to find that the first ever smartphone came into being in 1992 and was released to the public in 1994. I was extremely shocked when I found that out. With many of these things we're revealing tonight, they're all happening earlier than I expected. We haven't got to the ones lately that are probably a little bit later than you might be thinking. But anyway, we'll keep going. It's coming up to 7:15 here on the show that goes like this. We're almost 45 minutes into tonight's offering. How on earth is it flying by so quickly? I'll tell you how, because it's got great music, it's got interesting facts, and it's got me as a presenter. One of those things is truly fabulous. Yes, it's the music. Anyway, thanks for being here. Thanks for joining in with the show that goes like this. I like it when you're interactive. There are a few requests on my Ben Simmons Radio Facebook page, shared to my personal page as well, asking for examples of films with AI in them and people's favourite technology. We'll share some of your thoughts a bit later on in the show as well. What are we going to talk about next? Well, if you hear the title of this song and the band it's by, it wouldn't really reveal too much. When you listen to the opening lyrics, you probably will have a very, very good idea of the innovation we're talking about after this track from The Hollies.
The road is long. He's my brother.
community radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.
Oh yes, and that was a classic there from the Hollies. He ain't heavy, he's my brother. Presumably a very light brother he was talking about. Someone that didn't overeat. Someone that certainly wasn't a couch potato, because then the lyrics would have been, he's quite heavy, he's my brother. Anyway, what am I talking about? Not brothers, not overweight people, not the Hollies. Of course, the road is long. The opening of that song. With many winding turns. I've got into it now, I can't go back. I'm talking about the introduction of satellite navigation devices. I didn't want to give this away when I was talking about satellites earlier on, but the trusty old sat nav. Yes, we've probably, throughout our lives, many of us had a TomTom or possibly a Garmin sat nav. Other brands are available, of course. Those were two of the most popular. You can now simply do it with Google Maps. Get some kind of cradle for holding your phone to your windscreen, as long as you don't touch it. And, you know, you've got built-in sat-nav capabilities on most smartphone map devices now, which is incredible. But when did they come into being? Well, I remember having TomToms early 2000s, something like that, maybe 2003, 4, something like that. Clearly, as has been the theme with a lot of the technology in this show, it actually started out considerably earlier than that. And, well, there were products as far back as 1987. Toyota had a CD-ROM navigation system where it was actually, reliant on the program having maps built into it. There was the ETAC Navigator in 1985, which was the first move to a kind of digital map. 1981, Honda had an electro-gyrocator navigation unit, but what we rely on now as a global positioning system, satellite navigation, the first one was in 1990 and was in a Mazda car. So the Mazda Unos Cosmo navigation system was in the top-of-the-line cars, was only available in Japan, but was built into the actual car as well, and your position on the road could be triangulated in real time from satellites in space. Now, we all do it, every country in the world, pretty much. You can have sat-nav capabilities if you've got a device that can triangulate your position. You keep it in your car, and it can see where you are. Pretty darn amazing innovation and development, I'm sure you'll agree. But sat-navs are all well and good until they go wrong. If you haven't updated your sat-nav in the early 2000s and then roads get rebuilt, one-way systems get redesigned, and then you find yourself driving the wrong way down a road you shouldn't be driving down, or going down a new road that's been built and your sat-nav thinks you're in the middle of a field. We've all been there, haven't we? And what about those classic times when your sat-nav tells you you've arrived at your destination and you're almost driving into a river and nowhere near where you want to be? In those instances, we need to play this song to celebrate the sat-nav. Over to you, Chris. Belief way down in the shadows.
silence chokes the smile on every face. And common sense is ringing out the bell. This ain't no technological breakdown. Oh no, this is the road to hell.
Then he's had a sat nav go wrong.
Community radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM,
and this is the show that goes like this with Ben Simmons. Always happy to answer your questions and do the very best I can for my listeners. Keep it here, guaranteed to learn something by tuning into tonight's show and hear some great music for a couple of hours as well. On this very station. Fabulous. Now, regular contributor, former Legend of the Week award winner, Ron Wilmot has been in touch, and he's been very interested in all the technology I've talked about so far. We've dealt with satellites, the internet, smartphones, and sat-navs now. And Ron Wilmot, rather impatiently, so to speak, because you never know, I might get there later. But the fact that I'm dealing with it now indicates maybe not. He's asked, when was the first camera put in a phone? Yes, so when did the camera phone first come into being? This may surprise you with all the kind of technology we've dealt with so far actually coming into being considerably earlier than you might think. So a camera phone, a mobile phone which is able to capture photographs and often record video using a built-in digital camera, and then be able to send the resulting image over the telephone function. The first commercial camera phone was the Kyocera Visual Phone VP210, released in Japan in May 1999. Not all that long ago, just 22 years ago, the first ever camera phone. And the first one that was available in the UK was in 2002, the Nokia 7650 and the Sanyo SPC 5300. And get this, we have TVs with 4K resolution now pretty regularly. That's 4,000 pixels. The Nokia phone boasted a large 176 by 208 pixel colour display. Bit small there, Nokia. Anyway, quite interesting, I thought. That's one of those ones that's not really as far back as you might think. First camera phone invented in Japan in 1999, available in the UK in 2002. There you go, Ron Wilmot. That was just for you and for everybody else, but inspired by Ron. So thanks for sending in that question. What's coming next? What track is going to lead us to our next innovation? if we're thinking about relatively recent innovations, rather than thinking of gramophones or vinyls or CDs or even mini discs or something like that, guess what's coming next? After this, from ABBA.
I'm nothing special. In fact, I'm a bit of a bore.
It's no reflection on me.
If I tell a joke, you've probably heard it before.
No, quite innovative with jokes.
But I have a talent, a wonderful thing.
Agree with that.
Because everyone listens when I start to sing. I'm so grateful and proud.
Yep.
All I want is to sing it out loud.
I'll stop.
So I say thank you for the music, the songs I'm singing. Thanks for all the joy they're bringing. Who can live without it? I ask in all honesty, what would life be without the song or dance? What are we? So I say thank you for the music.
Reminded me of that brilliant Alan Partridge moment where he starts trying to duet with a woman on his fake chat show, Knowing Me, Knowing You, doing an ABBA medley, and he starts in a bad key and he does that bit at the start of Thank You for the Music far too high, and he goes, "Everyone listens when I start to sing." You have to be there, but it's very funny. And I think I've just done it justice with that attempt to recreate it there. Right, what are we talking about then? Thank You for the Music. Of course it's not vinyl or tapes or CDs. We're talking about digital music. And yes, not just playing music digitally on computers and such, but having a device you could hold in your pocket capable of storing a lot of musical tracks. Namely, an MP3 player, as they were known when they first came out. Nowadays, everyone's heard of an iPod. They're built into phones now. Every single phone can hold thousands of music tracks as well. But when did all that begin? Well, people might think wrongly that it's with the introduction of Apple's iPod in October 2001. But oh no, not too long before that though, but in 1997, the world's first MP3 player, the MP-Man F10, was developed by a South Korean company called Seihan Information Systems. There we go. The MP-Man F10 was the first device, pocket-sized device, for holding numerous musical tracks. So again, you know, fairly surprising. Less than 25 years ago, first MP3 player came into being. I was a little surprised at that anyway. And now we need another track to help us celebrate music. There's a lot of tracks that celebrate music. Did anyone expect this one from Madonna, though? Don't say I don't surprise you on the show that goes like this.
Hey, Mr. DJ, put a record on.
I will do.
I wanna dance with my baby.
Go on, then.
Radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.
That was Madonna's music there to help us celebrate the invention of the MP3 player, which was not all that long ago, all things concerned, considering some of the technology we've talked about on tonight's show. And some people out there enjoying Madonna's vocal enhancements there, reminding them of Cher's vocal enhancements in Believe. Yeah, absolutely. Good point, Ellie from Beckles. Well done. Now, what other innovation are we going to be talking about? Well, again, you've got to think a little bit more recently than what you might think when you first hear this track. What could we possibly be talking about when I'm playing this? You won't recognise it yet. Get ready to recognise it. Just like a thermostat, it's got to warm up, this track. There we go. Glenn Frey. Rack your brains. Come on, people.
The heat is on. On the street. Inside your head. On every beat. And the beat's alive. Deep inside. The pressure's high. Just to stay alive. Cause the heat is on.
FM.
Glenn Frey's The Heat Is On, another classic track we've played tonight on the show that goes like this. Hope you're enjoying all the tracks. I certainly am. They just happen to be linked to the various technologies we're talking about on this World Innovation Day on the 16th of February. Very glad to have you along, have you tuned in, and hopefully be giving you some bits of information you didn't necessarily know before. So what are we talking about now? Obviously, heat itself was invented a long time ago when people worked out you could rub sticks together. but what I'm now talking about in terms of recent innovations is, of course, the ability to control your heating from a smart device, to be able to have connected smart thermostats. And, well, they are relatively recent, and the most popular one in the UK right now, Hive, which is owned by British Gas, or the parent company that owns British Gas, at the very least, that came into being in 2013. But the actual development of the smart thermostat began in 2007 with the creation of the Ecobee thermostat. Its founder, Stuart Lombard, wanted to save energy and reduce his family's carbon footprint. And following the Ecobee, a company called Energy Hub released their version of a smart thermostat in 2009. And along with it, there came the creation of the Energy Hub dashboard, because Seth Frader-Thompson, who founded Energy Hub, got the idea for the dashboard from the Toyota Prius, which had screens on the dashboard that displayed the car's mileage in real time. And Seth Frader-Thompson felt a house should have something similar with its boiler and heating system. And then, basically, that got a bit further advanced. In 2011, a company called Nest Labs developed the Nest Learning Thermostat, which attempts to reduce your energy consumption by addressing problems with programmable thermostats through the use of better technology. And the Nest Learning Thermostat is very similar to what we have now in the UK as Hive Heating, but there are various ones available with different brands and different companies providing them, where you can control your home's heating from your computer or smart device. So yeah, actually began in 2007, became very popular in 2011. Still a very recent thing, I'm sure you'll agree. And to celebrate it, whether it's old or whether it's new, is Katy Perry. She doesn't want to be in the middle, she wants to be hot or cold.
You change your mind like a girl, change your clothes. Yeah, you mess like a bitch, I would know. And you always think, always speak critically. I should know that you're no good for me. 'Cause you're hot and you're cold, you're yes and you're no, you're in and you're out, you're up and you're down, you're wrong when it's right.
You're hot and you're cold, you're yes and you're no, you're in and you're out, you're up and you're down, you're wrong when it's right, it's back and it's white, we fight, we break up, we kiss, we make up, you're hot and you're cold, you're yes and you're no, you're in and you're out, you're up and you're down. Phoenix FM.
Hot and cold, Katy Perry. This is the show that goes like this. Ben Simmons here on Phoenix FM up until 8 o'clock. Keep it here, 98.0, phoenixfm.com, and tell your smart speaker to play Phoenix FM. If you've done any of those things to be listening, then thank you so much. Please spread the word. Share the show. Find a link somewhere and go on, share it to your social media. That'd be darn fabulous of you. We can get more listeners that way, more people to enjoy themselves between 6 and 8 on a Tuesday evening. Or maybe you're listening on the catch-up service on my blog page on the Phoenix FM website. If you don't know how to do that, you search the schedule, click on the name, the show that goes like this on a Tuesday night at 6 o'clock. It'll take you to my blog page and you can get all previous recordings from there and download them to your own devices as well now. It's all happening on our website. Well worth checking out. So, what are we going to deal with next? What bit of technology? Well, I'm going to play a track, and probably if I encourage you to guess what's coming by going on Mixcloud and looking at the webcam, I'm not actually talking about webcams, but you're in the right ballpark. Mixcloud.com, search for Phoenix FM, and you can see the video feed into this studio. Something to do with that is coming next on this Innovation Day special.
Radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.
And that was the Buggles with the classic Video Killed the Radio Star. How many times has that been sampled? That oh. Anyway, a few, I think it's safe to say. This is the show that goes like this, and we're dealing with technology. It's great to have you along, great to have you interested and tuned in. And what are we talking about now then, in the world of recent innovation? Well, since lockdown has happened, which is almost a year ago now since the first lockdown, that is ridiculous, we've all got a lot better, more proficient and used to using video calling across the internet, haven't we? Video calls have become very popular. Now, before the lockdown, people were doing it on various social media networks. You know, Apple had FaceTime, didn't they? It wasn't that brand new a thing until lockdown, but the likes of Microsoft Teams and Google Meet and Zoom have become incredibly popular since lockdown, where you can have multiple people on the same video conversation. But when was the first ever video call? Now, clearly we're dealing with things that can go back a bit further than we may be expecting tonight. This, I will be honest, shocked me. The first successful video call was back in 1927. So that, sorry, what? That can't be right, can it? We didn't have TVs properly then. What are you talking about? Well, again, for use in the military and stuff like that, in America as well. Let me read this part from my exhaustive internet research. An early US test in 1927 had their then Commerce Secretary Herbert Hoover address an audience in New York City from Washington, D.C. Although the audio portion of the video was two-way, the video portion was one-way, with only those in New York being able to see Hoover. He couldn't see them. But still, some form of video call was made possible in 1927. Unbelievable. And then the first video conferencing service with multiple people being able to be in on a meeting on video in the 1970s. It just seems to me like it should have been a lot more recent than that. I was shocked. Are you as well? That's for you to know and to decide whether you want to tell me. But yeah, glad to have you along. Glad to have you listening. What are we going to do now? Another track that helps us loosely link to video calls. Well, the beauty of video calls now, whether it's FaceTime, whether it's Teams, whether it's Zoom, however you do it, is that you're never that far away from your loved ones, are you? So you used to go away and feel sad about it. Now you can go away and video call them. Paul Young had no idea what he was singing about. That's what I'm getting at.
Much to me, I can't go. saying the same thing. Baby, can't you see we got everything going on, on, on. Every time you go away, you take a piece of me with you.
Phoenix FM.
Every time you go away, you can still phone me with a video call, and it's like we're not really that far apart. That's what it should have been, but it just wouldn't have rolled off the tongue as well when writing those lyrics. That's what I think. Anyway, half an hour left on the show that goes like this. How on earth has that happened? Quite a few tracks still to squeeze in, so I've got to get on to the next topic. Well, I'm quite impressed so far on innovation. We've dealt with satellites, the internet, smartphones, sat navs, MP3 players, smart heating systems, and now video calls. Three topics still to come. Can you guess from this what I could possibly be talking about next? Here's a clue. It's not reality TV. Think about the video. Think about the series.
I got
Now that is a feel-good track, if ever I've heard one.
Community radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.
Now we're talking about innovation, and another regular contributor to the show, Gary Collins, has sent in a message that says, what about the bloke who invented the cactus sandwich? You eat it and pick your teeth at the same time. I quite like that. Thanks, Gary. Sometimes Gary sends in questionable material. Not then, though. He's done well. Well done, sir. Thank you very much indeed. What are we talking about now, then? Why did I play Irene Cara and Fame? Why did I ply her as well? She's not wood. But because the innovation I'm going to talk about now, no, it's not neon leggings or anything like that. It is the fitness tracker. Oh, yes, there are brand names for them, of course, which I'm sure many of you are familiar with, but something you can wear on your wrist that can tell the time, that can also measure the distance that you've travelled, and now even things like your heart rate, water consumption, and amount of calories burned doing various activities, etc. I was surprised again when I found out about the history of the fitness tracker. Yes, they've become popular, very popular, in the last sort of 5 to 10 years. And yes, obviously the first ones must have been invented before that. But get this. Fitness trackers, as we know them today, first surfaced in 1965. What? Are you serious? Yes, they are. With the Manpo K, which translates to 10,000 steps meter, and was invented by Dr. Yoshiro Hitano in Japan at the Kyushu University of Health and Welfare. He was researching at the time how to combat obesity and decided something wearable that could measure the amount of steps you'd taken would help people become fitter. Incredible! 1965! That's 56 years ago fitness trackers first came into being. I was shocked. Well, let's have some more tracks that help us feel fit, that help us want to get fit, that make us want to run around and move and feel good. What's coming? Get ready. We'll be right back.
Phoenix FM.
Another classic track, Survivor's Eye of the Tiger. Now, I did say I would share some of your comments on technology, and I asked earlier on this afternoon on my social media channels, what's the best tech gadget released this millennium? And quite a few people have commented in, and let me tell you, Paul Milton says the Samsung smartphone and watch or Garmin GPS sat-nav. So he's happy to enjoy those. Barbara Ferry said the camera phone, the USB flash drive. That's good. Something I haven't talked about tonight. And Bluetooth as well. Yes, absolutely. Thomas Haywood weighs in with this one. The functionality of blocking specific numbers from phoning one's mobile. Well, maybe you're ringing them too much, Thomas. But yes, that is useful as well. Stefan Flack says the new generation microchip. Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, it's enabling computers to become faster, devices to become smaller. So, yeah, loads of people weighed in with their thoughts on technology. Thank you very much for that. We've still got two topics to discuss, which means I wanted to squeeze in four tracks. Could I possibly have time? Going to have to be quick. What's coming next? Guess from this track about the innovation in recent years I'm going to talk about now.
You can't touch this. You can't touch this. You can't touch this. Can't touch this. My music hits me so hard. Makes me say, oh my Lord, thank you for blessing me. What am I to ride and do hype? Because it's good when you know you're down. A super dope homeboy from the old town. And I'm known as such. And this is you can't touch it. I told you, homeboy, you can't touch this. Yeah, that's how we living and you know you can't touch this. Look at my eyes, man. You can't touch this. Yo, let me bust the funky lyrics. You can't touch this. Fresh new kicks and bands. You got it like that. Now you know you want to dance. So move out of your seat and get a fire going and catch this beat while it's rolling. Hold on. Pump a little bit and let the noise go on like that. Like that. Pull a little bit just to fall on back. Let them know that you're too much. And this is a beat they can't touch. Yo, I told you, you can't touch this. Why you standing there, man? You can't touch this. Yo, sound the bell, school is in, sucker. You can't touch this. Give me a song, a rhythm, making them sweat. That's what I'm giving them now. They know, you're talking about the hammer, you're talking about a show that's hot and tight. Singles are slow, so fast, I'm a white boy tape. To learn what it's gonna take in the 90s to burn the charts. Legit, either work hard or you might as well quit. That's word, because you know you can't touch this. You can't touch this. Break it down. Stop. Hammer time. Go with the flow. It is said if you can't do the best, then you probably are dead. So wave your hands in the air. Bust a few wings. Run your fingers through your hair. This is it. For a winner, dance to this, and you're gonna get pissed. Slide your rump just for a minute. Let's all do the bump. Bump, bump, bump. Yeah. You can't touch this. Look, man. You can't touch this. You better get a hype, boy, because you know you can't touch this. Ring the bell. School's back in. Break it down. Have a time. You can't touch this. You can't touch this.
Community radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.
And this is still the show that goes like this with Ben Simmons, and that was MC Hammer and You Can't Touch This. Got a bit repetitive towards the end of that track, didn't it? Although you could argue it was like that all the way through. What are we talking about now then in the world of innovation? I'm talking about contactless payments. And again, a little bit surprising, it feels like they've not been around all that long. The first ones in the UK, Barclaycard were the first company to send out contactless possible cards in 2007. Although when you think that, and then you think back a bit further, you think, really? Apparently Mobil, ExxonMobil, the oil company, allowed cards, contactless cards, to be used in their gas stations in America as early as 1997. Those were cards that were just loyalty cards, if you like, for Mobil garages in the USA, so they couldn't be used for anything else, but the technology did exist back then, but became to prominence in the UK in 2007. So MC Hammer celebrated contactless with not touching anything. The Divinyls want to touch everything. The Divinyls then.
Phoenix FM.
And we're getting close to the nitty-gritty and the very end of this edition of the show that goes like this. But one more topic still to cover. So we've done contactless payments there, which I was surprised about. Came into being a little bit earlier than you might have thought. The last thing I'm going to discuss is something maybe not everybody uses even now, though you've had to if you've done test and trace in various venues with your NHS COVID apps, the QR reader. Again, it's come into prominence more recently, but it's been around for quite a while. The very first QR codes were designed for the automotive industry and helping to recognise car parts in Japan back in 1994. Now, that's amazing. And, yeah, they're quite popular nowadays. You just click on something, you've got a QR reader built into your phone, and it takes you to a website or app or some kind of form to fill in almost instantly. Because, a little nugget of information for you, if you didn't know what QR meant, quick response code. Here's Madonna. She's used to moving quickly, very fast as the speed of light.
Radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.
And right, we've got to sum up the entire show, and shock horror upon shock horror, reveal to all my lovely Legend listeners there will be no Legend of the Week tonight. You've all been fabulous for tuning in and listening. And, it's because I wanted to share some of the things you did send in to me on social media earlier, because I also asked about technology. What about the best films that deal with AI going bad? I'm only asking that because I recently watched Avengers Age of Ultron. It led me to think about Terminator 2. What films are there that deal with those kind of themes? Pete Tyler says 2001 and 2010. Eddie Bushell says I, Robot. Excellent film. Well, all of those that have been mentioned. The Man Who's Coming Up Next with Synth City suggests Mother, which is a film I haven't yet seen, so I may have to watch that. Thanks to Rob Harvey for that. Stay tuned for him after the news at 8 o'clock. And then Barbara Ferry weighs in with War Games, Metropolis, Austin Powers' International Man of Mystery, Blade Runner and Tron. Paul Milton said Rocky, Mission Impossible and Star Wars. And there's a couple more from Barbara Ferry later on. Moon, Westworld, Ex Machina. But she also mentioned one of my very favourite films, The Matrix. It's the only film I've ever seen in the cinema and just kind of sat there at the end of it, not really knowing what to do with myself, trying to come to terms with what I'd just seen. And I'm very excited they're doing a fourth film in the franchise. Matrix 4, I think, is due to come out later this year, possibly early 2022. Anyway, going to play us out with a fabulous track from Queen. I'll be back next week. Rob's up next. Bye for now.
Tonight, I'm gonna have myself a real good time. I feel alive. And the world, I'm turning inside out. Yeah. I'm floating around in ecstasy. So
don't stop me now. Don't stop me.
'Cause I'm having a good time. Having a good time. Shooting star leaping through the sky like a tiger, defying the laws of gravity. I'm a racing car passing by like Lady Godiva. I'm gonna go, go, go. There's no stopping me. Good time, I'm having a ball.
Don't stop me now.
If you wanna have a good time, just give me a call.
Don't stop me now.
I'm having a good time.
Don't stop me
yes,
now.
I'm having a good time. I don't wanna stop at all. Yeah. I'm a rocket ship on my way to Mars on a collision course. I am a satellite. I'm out of control. I'm a sex machine ready to reload. Like an atom bomb about to
explode.
I'm burning through the sky, yeah. 200 degrees, that's why they call me Mr. Fahrenheit. I'm traveling at the speed of light. I wanna make a supersonic woman of you.
Don't stop me, don't stop me, don't stop me.
Hey, hey, hey.
Don't stop me, don't stop me. Ooh, ooh, ooh.
I like
don't stop
it.
Me, don't stop me.
Time. Just give me a call.